John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John. Now, spiritual jealousy, this is the worst thing. When people are jealous at how many people you baptize, it's really awful, and it just shows anyone who gets like that is not really sincere. Actually, Jesus himself was not baptizing anybody anyway, but his disciples were. So shows it doesn't make any difference who puts someone in the water, who physically baptizes you, makes no difference at all. I think Jesus purposefully didn't want to do it, lest people would go around saying, Jesus baptized me. So he got the disciples to do it. And then people say, you must be baptized or rebaptized by us or by this person. This is totally wrong. So when Jesus heard what was being said, he left Judea and went back to Galilee. On his way there, he had to go through Samaria. And in Samaria, he passed through to the town called Sychar, which was not far from the field that Jacob had left to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, as he was exhausted by the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon, about lunchtime, midday. So you see how Jesus had human nature, that he was exhausted by the journey and sat down by a well. A Samaritan woman came there to draw some water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink of water," because the disciples had gone away into the town to buy food. The woman replied, "You're a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Because Jews will not even use the same cups or bowls that Samaritans use. And also, a rabbi or a Jewish teacher was not supposed to ever talk to a woman publicly. But Jesus does talk to this woman, and he's happy to use the same cup and bucket that she was using. And you see also how weak he was, how human he was. He was exhausted, and I think he maybe just didn't have the energy to put the bucket down the well and pull the water up. So he definitely wasn't God. He was a son of God. And in all the things we go through in our lives, we've got to keep on remembering that Jesus has been this way before. Jesus replied, "If only you knew the gift of God and who is he that's asking you for a drink, you would ask him and he would give you the water that gives life." "Sir," the woman said, "you haven't even got a bucket and the well is very deep. Where would you get that life-giving water from?" "It was our father Jacob who gave us this well. He and his sons and his flocks all drank from it. Do you claim to be greater than Jacob?" So you see, she's trying to provoke him, saying, "Our ancestor was Jacob." She's a Samaritan. She was like, as the Jews thought, like only half Jewish. Jesus replied, "Whoever drinks this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst ever again. Because the water that I will give shall become in him a spring of water, which will provide him with life-giving water unto eternal life." "Sir," the woman said, "give me that water, then I'll never be thirsty again. I won't have to come here to draw water." "Go and call your husband," Jesus told her, "and return here." "I don't have a husband," she replied. Jesus said, "You are right when you say you don't have a husband. You have been married to 5 men, and the man you're living with now isn't your true husband. So you told me the truth." I think that's Jesus being positive, because she was living with a man, and so to say, "Oh, well, I haven't got a husband," like, "Well, no, I'm a single woman," really is the impression she's giving. And Jesus says, "Well, yes, you are living with somebody, although he's not your husband and you've not lived a very moral life, but thanks for telling me the truth." So you see how positive Jesus is. And it's that spirit of being positive that we've got to have with difficult people, because she was definitely difficult. "I see you're a prophet, sir," the woman replied. "My fathers," and she was a Samaritan, "worshipped God on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship God." There's a big argument between the Jews and the Samaritans about where the holy place was. But Jesus is going to show that having a certain space as holy is not important. But Jesus said to her, Believe me, woman, the time is coming, and now is, when people shall not worship the Father neither on this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You as Samaritans know not what you worship, but we, Jews, know whom we worship, because salvation is of the Jews. But the time is coming, and now is, when those who worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and through the power of his spirit, people will worship him in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah comes, and when he comes, he'll tell us everything. Jesus replied, I am he. It's him who's talking with you. At that moment, Jesus' disciples returned. Now, sometimes you think, things always happen just at the wrong time. You must have thought, why couldn't they just leave me a little bit more time? But it's all in God's purpose. And they were very surprised to find him talking with a woman, because men, as I said, religious leaders weren't supposed to talk to women publicly. But they didn't dare say to her, what do you want? Or to ask Jesus, why are you talking with her? The woman left her water jar, returned to the town, and said to the people there, Come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Could this not be the Messiah? So they left their town and went out to Jesus. Meanwhile, the disciples begged Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But he replied, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So his discussion with that woman was so thrilling that it was like he'd eaten food. This is how it should be with us. If really our food and our drink is to do God's will, if you get somebody who's interested in the gospel, this is a most encouraging situation. And you really, it's like you've eaten a meal. That is, of course, if you want to see the gospel spreading, and if that's the most important thing in your life. My food, Jesus said to them, is to do the will of the one who sent me, that's God, and to finish his work which he gave me to do. There is a saying, after 4 months there will be the harvest, but I tell you, look at the fields. The crops are now ripe and they are absolutely ready for harvest. And the one who will reap the harvest will be paid and gather the crops unto eternal life. And the man who sows and the man who reaps will then rejoice together. This saying is true. One man sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap the harvest which you didn't work for. Others worked, and you are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had told them that he had told her everything she'd ever done. And especially, she means her sins with all the different men that she'd been with. So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them. And Jesus stayed 2 days. And many more believed because of his own message. And they told the woman, We believe now not because of your word, but because we ourselves have heard him and have seen that he is the Saviour of the world. After the 2 days there, Jesus left them and went up to Galilee. He himself had said, A prophet is not respected in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the people welcomed him because they'd gone to the Passover in Jerusalem and had seen all the things that he'd done there during that feast. Then Jesus returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water into wine. There was a government official there whose son was sick in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and begged him to go to Capernaum and heal his son who was on the verge of death. Jesus said to him, Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Sir, replied the man, come with me before my child dies. Jesus said to him, Go away, your son lives. The man believed Jesus' words and went. On his way home, his servants came out meeting him with the news, Your son is going to live. He asked them at what time it was when his son had started to get better, and they said, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. Then the father remembered that it was at that very hour when Jesus had told him, Your son lives. So he and all his family believed. This was the second miracle that Jesus had done after coming from Judea to Galilee. So You can see then that faith is trust in the word of God or the word of Jesus, and it is not based on that which you can see. See, there was no evidence for this man to believe that, but he believed. He really believed it. And it's a case of believing in the word. Now, the word that we have to believe in is right before us in the Bible. It all comes down to whether we will say yes to God and say yes to Jesus and really take God at his word and take Jesus at his word.